Well, good evening to our BBS radio listeners. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. It's been a very nice evening for all of us, and we're glad to have you join us at this time. At this time, we still have other callers coming in. Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening, and welcome to the call.
Hello, hello, Jim from Sedona.
Hello, Jim. It's hi.
Yes. You beat me to it, Ice. I'm so sorry.
Hi, Roger. I heard you talk too. Welcome to the call. Is there anyone else?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, this is Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, Joni. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Roger.
Hi, Roger. Hi. Welcome to the call this evening. Is there anyone else I missed?
Hi, this is Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
I said my name. I don't know if you guys heard me. It's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Mr. Chris. I miss you.
Welcome to the call.
Chris, I thought you were on your way to Phoenix.
Man, I really need a little bit more money, man. I was going to get the night bus tonight, man, but I need a little bit more money. I can't do this. I don't want to go and have to be a burden on someone, you know, if I don't have money, you know. So I need a little bit more money.
I was going to go hide if you were coming.
Oh, you're not, man, because I've got some songs that are going to blow your mind.
Well,
it's totally coming through, man. It's on. I'm channeling music, man. It's on.
You can't blow my mind at this point. Don't you know that?
Oh, well, it'll be close to it. Oh, yeah, after yesterday's thing, man, that was like a emotional orgasm, all that crying I did. I really needed that. Got it all out.
Oh, well.
All right, we've had other callers come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Want more? I'm in Courtney, British Columbia.
Well, welcome to the call this evening. All right. Would someone else like to say their name and location?
Now, is Terry here?
I have not heard Terry come in yet.
Oh, my God. She can be so irresponsible.
Oh, I love her anyway. I love her anyway. It don't matter.
Well, me too.
Yep.
Well, let me go see how she's doing. You know, I can talk about her. This is actually a polite thing to say, but it's amazing. It's amazing to watch Terry and how she has to work at being in this realm, you know? She really does.
I know the feeling.
I do understand that.
Yeah. You know, it's like when you sense that, and how, Jerry, I'm talking about you. Are you gonna be on the call? Oh, thank you for inviting me. I was just telling everybody what a challenge it is for you to be in this realm.
Yeah.
She agrees. I mean, all right. did you hear her say that?
Yeah, I did.
You know.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Well, good evening. And your name and location?
Hi, this is Abby from California.
Well, welcome to the call this evening. Is there anyone else who'd like to say their name and location?
Yeah, well, if you need somebody to fill in sometime for Heist, I could do it. If you think anybody else.
Well, you know what? Maybe we should try it, because you might do better than Donna.
I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly, myself, volunteering myself.
You are.
Well, you're more than welcome to try if you'd like to.
Okay, well, yeah. I will do it.
You got to give me a, you got to tell me you're 3 months off from doing any marijuana.
No, no way. That's what makes me creative.
Yeah.
No, I'm off the hard drugs. The marijuana is good. It's healing. It's very healing. It helps me connect. It really does. It's good. If you get all the bad stuff out, there's, you know, you don't have to worry about energy. Bad energy is getting attracted to you because of the weed, because it's actually a good thing, you know. And if
all
you
right,
got,
all right, well,
okay, I'm sorry.
You know,
all right.
You gotta make a good track record, okay?
Hey, okay.
I'm not sure that's true, Chris. You know, I know. You know, every person is different, of course. So
yeah, well, I found my balance. So I've got what works for me. So that's all. That's the truth.
Yeah, it's the most beneficial plant in the world.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Are you going to kill the dings?
Am I going to kill the dings?
Yeah.
I have to make ding noises with my mouth or something, I guess.
I'm going to go to the internet.
Are you accusing me of being a murderer?
No, I just want to know if you want to kill him now.
Do you know how to do it?
No, I wasn't given that power.
Okay.
Mr. Manson, he's getting all his followers on here so we can get into a Manson-type deal, huh?
Could you mute Chris, please?
Good Lord. Good Lord.
Yeah.
I had a little too much energy tonight. I'm sorry. I need a little grounding, I guess.
Hey, chill out, man.
Okay.
Well, Chris, you're not ready to be a moderator yet. Okay?
Good.
Oh, I can turn it on and off in a second if I have to.
Turn it off.
I don't really want to.
All right.
When it flows, it flows.
Okay, Chris.
And when it knows, it knows. Yeah.
We've just muted Chris. And
thank you.
Chris, don't take it personally.
Thank you.
And
God.
Let me mute the.
Hello?
Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is July 6th, 2015, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Donna and Great Falls, and Chris, who is now currently muted in Tennessee. And I'm going to unmute everybody, but Chris, don't you talk, okay? I want other people to talk this because you do have a good voice and you're charismatic, but I want other people to express themselves right now. And I want to ask a question. How many of you know about reptilians? Hang on, let's just see.
All callers are unmuted.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
How many people?
Yes, I do.
Never heard of.
And you picked this topic to make me not talk. Okay, I'm not going to. You did that on purpose. You know what you're doing.
Well, somebody's got to know what they're doing around here.
It's not working.
Okay.
I'm on a first-name basis with them. I'll just leave it at that.
Good Lord.
Fuck. Now, you know, one of the things that reptilians do is they try to get recognition from other people by who they know. So I would be really careful about anyone that said they were on a first-name basis with somebody to try to make themselves credible.
It's not credible. I've had experiences with them. I mean,
okay.
I have. That's not a lie. It's not an ego. It's I've had experiences with...
All right. Okay.
Now, I'll leave it there. Sorry. I'm very sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody. I'm just...
I'm back on now. I got knocked off the call.
How many of you can identify reptilian energy? How many can do that?
Really?
No.
I think
good
guess.
Okay. All right. Just checking. How many of you are familiar with David Icke?
Yeah, I have.
Read a lot of his books.
Yes.
How many of you never heard of David Icke?
I have.
You have it. Okay.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, everybody's muted. And the topic of I picked tonight was discernment. And I have to tell you... Okay, what is that? I have to tell you that in this realm, it is so tricky. It is unbelievably tricky. And I had not a clue about any of this when I started writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And one of the reasons is that it's so tricky. Hang on.
All callers are muted.
One of the reasons it is so tricky is because things are not black and white. And something can be positive one day through somebody, and something could be negative the next day. And the person who is going from positive to negative doesn't even know what they're doing. They're innocent. So you can't go pointing a finger at somebody and say, you're bad or you're evil. That's what a lot of fundamentalists will do. They will try to make it black and white. And if you're in one state of mind one day, you are forever damned, okay? It's like... So I wanted to go over some of the stuff I had to go through and some of the amazing things I learned. And quite frankly, I'm still learning to trust myself on this stuff. People ask me all the time. Every Wednesday, we get questions from people. Is so-and-so positive? Is this a good this? And I can't ask those questions. You know, taking what I just said, that what's positive and what's negative can switch from one day to the next, back again. How can you possibly damn somebody and say, no, they're negative? Unless you watch somebody over a long period of time and kind of see how they hold their consistency. And then you might say they're predominantly positive, okay? I mean, we have had sessions with our sources where there were times when I was looking at somebody else's channeling, and I would say, what percentage of accuracy do you think that person has? And that might say 80%, 75%, 85%. But of course, you see, now I'm using our sources to validate another source. And how do I know my source is accurate and that I can trust that? And it really comes down to, this is about learning how to trust yourself, your own ability to discern, your own ability to make evaluations, And what are the keys to having better discernment? And can you believe me if I tell you the keys? Because once you start realizing how this works, it's like it becomes, who can you trust? Can I trust myself? You know, can I look in the mirror and say, when you've got it? You know, as soon as I say I've got it, then I'm going to tell you how it is, and you become followers, and we lose the very essence of what makes these cults special, which is co-creation, which is joining our energies. And it's not about what you believe. And I have learned that our sources have frequencies. They have resonant frequencies. And I have learned that they are really close to us on these calls. And as soon as I start talking about them, and some of you who are more sensitive have felt this, as soon as I start talking about them, there's a shift in energy, which I feel. And I know that's real. And some of you feel it. And the more I talk about them, the more the energy shifts and starts to uplift. And then we call them in. And there they are. It's that fast and that quick. And for those of you that felt that, that was real experience. And it didn't require you to do anything, to have the experience. It's just there. Well, now, when I started writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I was, you know, Edgar Cayce had been one of my greatest influences in this life. And I remember when I first would talk to David Wilcock on the phone, I could barely talk to him. I said, oh my God, this is the guy, the soul of the guy that I have been, you know, so greatly influenced me. And David was a normal person. And we're all normal people. But I couldn't make him a normal person because he was Edgar Cayce. And Edgar Cayce was one of the greatest influences in my life. So now I am studying David right and left. I have decided to write the book about it. I am reading every one of his channelings. And I am cross-referencing, and I'm starting to study Carl Rucker. And it's kind of blowing my mind because I'm learning about this group soul. They say they're the Ra group, and that they have been acting as a guidance and helper for this planet for a long time. And I'm saying in my mind, can this be true? Can this be true? And I'm trying to make it, you know, convince myself that it was true. I'm looking for all the evidence. I don't want to just convince myself. I want the backup that it's true. And while I'm doing all this research, I suddenly meet Daphne. And you know, everyone knows the famous story of the trip to Portland. And now I am asking questions through Daphne about all the things I'm writing about in The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And they are backing up every single point 100%. And I would have considered myself a spiritually savvy person. I had done astrology charts. I had read Gurdjieff and everything metaphysical under the sun. And I never heard of a Ra group. I mean, I heard of Ra, the sun god in Egypt. But I never, I never heard of a group soul made up of graduates. How come I never heard of that? With all the study and research I've done, and suddenly it's in my face as I'm studying Wilcock. And then they say to Wilcock, they say, both Casey and Wilcock had negative sources. And they went through a whole reading that Casey did about, I call it the devastation prophecy, where California will disappear in the wink of an eye and Tokyo will disappear in the blink of an eye and Europe will be going down, and watch for Mount Vesuvius because it'll happen after Mount Vesuvius erupts. And when I was reading Casey years ago, I was living in Berkeley, we were studying that and saying, I'm going to leave town this weekend just in case this is the weekend. And at the same time, now I'm reading that that whole prophecy was from a negative source, and that Wilcock had negative sources, and so did Casey. And here I am studying Wilcock and saying, okay, where is a negative source speaking through Wilcock? And by the way, going back to that devastation prophecy, that particular prophecy had a name, a byline of who brought it forth. And it was not Casey's normal source. It was a name that started with H, and I went through the entire Casey CD-ROM looking to see what other things H had said. Because now through Wilcock, we're saying H was a negative source. And so I found things like, I am in the heavens as Jesus is to your realm. And then I found where there was a Casey study group that was monitoring the Casey readings, and they recommended that they didn't want H to come through anymore. And they just wanted the Christ to come through, which, of course, as we know now, if I believe this is true, this was the rock group. And so as I'm studying the Wilcock readings, and as I'm studying Wilcock, I notice one point, a point that Casey had I've learned, Carla Ruckert has validated this point, and it has to do with tuning in to the frequency and having a group energy in this realm that helps hold the frequency for these high sources. And having a group energy in this realm creates protection. Otherwise, you're just expanding into the universe, and who knows where you're going to go and what's going to grab you. It's waiting to grab you. And Carla was one of those people that got grabbed big time and had negative attacks. So was Daphne. And Casey had a group energy. He had his wife, and he had his secretary who worked with him and held the space when he channeled. And he also had a group called the Search for God group that was monitoring his channelings. So there were a lot of people looking over Casey's shoulder. And as I was studying Casey, and this is in the book, and David Wilcock approved everything that was in the book. And while I was studying Casey, I learned about Casey's past life, one of them. And he's had a number of past lives. He was Rata in Egypt, which was, you know, a pretty positive contribution at the time. And but he, in his more recent times, he was, his name was John Bainbridge. This is according to the Casey readings. And John Bainbridge was a gambler and a womanizer who used psychic powers to control things. And as Casey was doing his readings, his sources told him that he had to go into an unconscious space. They told him that they highly recommended that he not be a womanizer, and they were suggesting that if he was, he would open up energies that could be very dark for the work he was doing, okay? And that Casey himself had a sense of resentment for being popular, for going into a trance. In other words, people, the door would knock, ring all day, the doorbell, and people were coming over to get readings, and Casey would go into a trance, and he didn't feel like he had any conscious contribution to the work. He was sleeping. So what was said was Casey resented that aspect of things because he didn't get any ego rewards for going into this trance. Well, of course, Wilcox didn't go into trance. Carla went into a trance. To get into the highest realms, you have to go into a trance. Carla went into a trance. Wilcox was channeling semi-consciously. And to my knowledge, he never had a support group. He never allowed anyone to work with him on his channelings, except perhaps one time with me, when we did.
When? Well, we lost Wynn. So everyone just hold the energy, please.
Okay, I just got knocked off, and I'm back. David,
okay.
I'm sorry. It was all in the book. In any case, David was aware of this fact that he could have negative sources. And as the book was being worked on, and when the book came out, he came to the conclusion that he didn't want to be consciously channeling in a public way because I believe, I don't know if I heard him say this outright, so I'll say, I believe he was really concerned that what if he does something negative and puts it out, and that it was much safer to do things from his conscious mind, talk about history, talk about the shift, talk about ETs, talk about ancient prophecies, than to put out channelings. And so when the book came out, we went our separate ways, and I ended up being the one that had to figure out, can I put this out safely? Now, there were a couple of things in that period of time with David that really gave me pause to consider. And one of the things was a session that he did where he said the rock group was supposedly coming from the rock group, and the rock group was talking about these hybrid bodies that were coming in that humans would occupy in 4D, and they'd have all these great powers in these hybrid bodies. And I read that, and I said, I'm a little nervous about this, because I had already learned about what the gray ETs that supposedly were abducting people and creating hybrid bodies for themselves, with the hope of occupying the Earth with these hybrid bodies. And I remember David and I had a conversation, and I said, you know, I really don't want to put that channeling in the book. And he agreed. And it just left me wondering. I said, where did that come from? Is this really the way it's going to happen? Or is this from a negative source? And I'm predisposed to think it was a negative source. But we can all see, if that's the way it works, that's the way it works. And then there was another thing that David had written his story of what happened to him, which led to his channeling. And in one of the biographical pieces, David was talking about how the ETs were paying attention to him. And he was kind of really excited about that. And he kind of thought that ETs were positive. And, you know, at this point, I didn't know anything, so I'm just taking it all in. But in this biographical piece, David drew a picture of himself with a little cartoon picture and two ETs looking over him on an operating table. And they looked like grays with big eyes. And David was reporting it like it was a positive experience. And I'm trying to figure, and you know, the topic of this is discernment. And I'm still a baby here trying to figure this out, and how much can I believe and what's true. And it looks to me like David had an abduction experience with grays. And, I mean, that's written down. I have that in my archive somewhere. He may still have it up in his archive somewhere. He had an experience with grays, and he has a channeling where he's talking about the positive aspects of hybridization, and that humans are going to be occupying 4D bodies that were hybrids. If they're hybrid bodies, what were they hybrids of? Seemed to me the biggest hybriders out there are the grays. And the grays don't necessarily have, to the best of my knowledge thus far, the knowledge a positive intent towards the evolution of humans. Okay? That I don't see any evidence for them to be a benevolent race. They're a desperate race. They're a race that has genetic defects in their DNA, and that their race would die out, was dying out, and they made the choice to hybrid with humans. And if this is the first time you've ever heard this, and it's like, I don't usually like to talk about it. Some people find it scary, but it's just what is what it is. Over this point of immersion in this work, I think this is true. And I read a huge amount of stuff. And the grays were desperate, and they made a deal with our government in the 50s to trade permission to abduct for technology. So one of the reasons we have all this technology now is because of this agreement, okay? And so it is a huge challenge for anybody to figure out what's up and what's down in this realm. And as I was initially studying David, I was getting a headache, okay? Because here I am, I'm writing a book bringing what I believe to be some of the most positive channelings and information I had ever experienced. I mean, somebody wrote a review on Amazon and said, some of the most lucid and loving advice, wisdom I have ever read. And it is that. It is very deep. And yet the same guy that did this seems like he was abducted. He didn't know the abduction was a negative experience. And he had a channeling which talked about how great the hybrids were. So I'm trying to figure it out. And then, of course, I'm starting to read about reptilians, and I'm starting to read about David Icke. And I am, like, the whole idea of the reptilians. Let me just, I'll tell you guys, just in a thumbnail, what the reptilian deal is, as I've learned it, okay? And we, in the dimension, just above ourselves, there are beings. And those beings can be very close to our consciousness. And if you were religious, you might call them demonic. But not all of them are demonic. Some people will call them ascended masters. And maybe they are, or maybe ascended masters are demonic. You see, you start picking names, and names sound good. Oh, an ascended master. How cool. What do you have to tell me? And now that's where you've given up your power based on some kind of hierarchy, and you think they know stuff that you don't. And you better be test that situation, any situation, for a period of time. And don't ask me to tell you. You know, people write me, is so-and-so positive? Can I trust that? I can't tell you. First of all, people can be positive one day and negative the next. Second of all, if they were negative and I started to ask my sources, hey, are they negative? Then I would be negative just to do that because I'm not here to discredit other people. Plus, I would be creating enemies left and right. Even if they are negative, they suddenly kind of highlight some, put a spotlight on somebody as being negative, and they're not going to like you, okay? That's one of the reasons people get knocked off in this world. So this is a tricky, tricky, tricky thing. But a reptilian consciousness, it acts in another dimension, and it can connect and merge with a human consciousness. And particularly, it connects and merges with consciousnesses that have certain DNA configurations. So, when we talk about all these secret societies, and we talk about all this interbreeding and all of keeping the bloodline pure, then the kings and queens ruled by divine right, when we talk about the Egyptian pharaohs that ruled by divine right, in most many, if not all cases, these are situations where the bloodline was kept intact or to a certain degree of purity, and that meant that people could only interbreed within certain things, you know, within their families or within those, oftentimes they're called blue bloods. And when the DNA was correct, you know, in one of those beings, a reptilian could merge with their consciousness and sometimes come through their consciousness and take them over as a walk-in. And David Icke talked about that extensively, and he was talking about all the people who are ruling our country now that are having that experience of a reptilian consciousness connecting with their consciousness. And why do the reptilians do this? Because they want to take over our planet. And they want to, they don't have emotions. And in general, they want power. They are power hungry. For hundreds of thousands or millions of years, they have been the warriors of our universe. They have created wars. And in the Carla Rucker Raw material, she talks about how in the channeling that was asked, how do these reptilians interface? And the answer, paraphrasing right now, was that they merge, interface with the consciousness. If somebody's negative, if somebody's demonic, if somebody wants power and control, then they will interface directly as a demonic force that says, we'll give you power and control, but you have to do what we want. And now you have the devil's bargain, so to speak. And those of you that have followed things like Bohemian Grove, where all the negative, the Masons, the Illuminati meet in Northern California, know that they have big statues there of these devilish-looking beings with horns, which are probably derivative of reptilians. And that if you're of a negative service to self predisposition, they work with you very easily in terms of saying, you know, just their service to self, so they join them easily. But if you're service to others and you're channeling, they will trick you. They will come in as something friendly, as love light, as beneficent, and they will trap your energy. And you won't know what hit you. Or you'll go back and forth. You'll have your pure source, and you'll have your reptilian source, or you'll just get taken over by the reptilian source. You know, one of the signs of this happening is if a source comes to you and says, you are great. They flatter your ego. You are here to do great work. We have a whole plan for you. And if that comes to you, I would suggest run the other direction. Because to me, that is a sign of a negative source. As I've come to learn from the Ra group and the Elohim group, who I don't believe are negative sources, they never tell me what to do. And the way this planet evolves, hear this, this is a major point here. The way this planet evolves is through the co-creation of humans, not being followers. When you're a follower, you're not co-creating. You're doing what someone else says. You're following someone else's agenda. If you're a little insecure and suddenly you have somebody tell you, you're so great, you are the next spiritual leader on this planet. We're so glad to work with you. If you hear that, run the other direction, because that is not going to create co-creation in this realm. It's going to create following. And in one of the early stages of my unfoldment in this, I happened to meet a woman who was married to one of the leaders of a major church. And she told me that she left her husband because she was a channel. And she decided her husband was using her channeling in a negative way to control other people. And then she told me everyone in that church that had a wife who channeled the negative. And this is a major church. I'm not going to say which one it is. That's the kind of thing that will get me in trouble. But nonetheless, I knew she was telling the truth. And I said, you know, if this is happening in this church, it's probably happening in that church. It's probably happening in this group over here and that group over there. And, it's all about operating as a consortium. It's operating individual control mechanisms. Like, this church may not realize that the same reptilians are operating in that church. So this is why you have to be so careful with channelings. And I've grown to be wary of channelings that start out with, oh, you beautiful children of love light, we are here today gathered. You are here to save the planet. You are the ones that have come. And we are so... Now, that may not be negative, okay? It may not. But if I'm around that, I'm going to, like, really keep a distance before I surrender my energy to it for quite some time to make sure I'm not falling under the influence of something that is going to control me or trap me. And so I would wish that with all the work we do and all the calls we do and all the material we're putting out, that some of you are paying attention to that and looking at the MO of our sources. And even the MO of me, you know, MO, modus operandi. What am I doing? I mean, I don't have an agenda. I don't have to do this. I know it's a service. I know it's helping people, but I don't have to do it. My ego doesn't have to do it. I can go out and play music or sell pendants or do things and enjoy myself. But I know how much and how rare this work is. And so I choose to do it. And you choose to show up. And we co-create. I believe we are co-creating energetically on this line. And we are creating energy in this realm that wasn't there. But, you know, if somebody wants to study my work and think I'm full of it and this is negative, and some people do think that, then they're welcome to their opinion. And, you know, I'm even willing to entertain that, hey, maybe they're right. I'm just going to keep watching. But I get so many beautiful emails from people that I can't even quite believe we're doing this. It's just insane. You know, some of you email me and say, you can't believe we're doing this. I mean, you haven't, you know, however you found this, however you looked into it, you know, here we are. We do 3 conference calls a week, and people come back and come back and come back, and they're all different. Every one of them starts somewhere, and it seems like I never run out of stuff to do. And I'm amazed that I can do that. And so I do believe we have the frequency of those sources that are positive on this line, and that we get to feel those frequencies. And then when you go around and deal with other people, you can kind of compare it and say, do I feel those frequencies with them or not? Now, that doesn't mean you cannot get something of value from a lower source. You can. Just because something is a higher source doesn't mean it would be like if you were reading some really sophisticated book. Well, that doesn't mean you can't read the newspaper, which is not sophisticated. You can read the newspaper, and you can get something out of reading the newspaper. And you can get something out of an ascended master. And you can get things out. The thing about all of this is to observe if you're getting something out of it, or if you're just being a follower or glomming on to an energy of another dimension. It's like real wisdom gives you something to take with you. And you go back and you can apply it in your life. And when you apply it, it doesn't matter that I told you, doesn't matter that an ascended master told you. If you apply it and make it work, you then know that it works. So if it works, you don't have to worry about whether it's positive or negative. And if you have a real positive source, they should be giving you things that you can work, not just aphorisms or sayings to repeat, but things that you can apply to your life and say, I did that, and my life shifted. And then you can identify wherever that came from as probably positive. But then don't give up your guard, because they have to keep delivering stuff like that. Because, you know, if you be positive, then you think, wow, that is really far out stuff. And then you pay every attention, and you lay every word down, you want to study it, and it may not stay positive. And we got a minute left here. Yeah, I was going to read a little bit about Thoth and the Emerald Tablets where Thoth talks about reptilians 50,000 years ago, which they still were involved, and talks about them almost exactly the way that David Icke does. Okay, let me just read. Read one thing. In the form of man moved they amongst us, but only to sight were they as our men. This is so similar to us. Serpent-headed when the glamour was lifted, but appearing to man as man among men, crept they into the councils, taking form that they were like unto men, slaying by their arts the chiefs of the kingdoms, taking their form and ruling over man. Only by magic could they be discovered. Only by sound could their faces be seen. Sought they from the kingdom of shadows, to destroy man and rule in his place. But know ye, the masters were mighty in magic, able to lift the veil from the face of the serpent, able to send him back to his place. Came they to man and taught him the secret. The word was only a man can pronounce. Swift then they lifted the veil from the serpent and cast him forth from his place among men. Yet beware, the serpent still liveth in a place that is open, at a time to the world. Unseen, unseen, they walk among thee in places where the rites have been said. Again, as time passes onward, shall they take the semblance of men. Called may they be by the master who knows the white or the black, but only the white master may control and bind them while in the flesh. He uses the word bind. Seek not the kingdom of shadows, for evil will surely appear. For only the master of brightness shall conquer the shadow of fear. Know ye, O my brother, that fear is an obstacle great. Be master of all in the brightness, the shadow will soon disappear. Hear ye and heed my wisdom. The voice of light is clear. Seek the valley of shadow, and light only will appear. I don't know. That sounds like it was wrong, that last thing. Seek the valley of shadow, and light only will appear. But to me, he was describing these unseen forces that come in, and I didn't read the whole thing. In ages past, they were conquered by the masters driven below to the space whence they came. Well, some there were who remained, hidden in spaces and plains unknown to man. Live they in Atlantis' shadows, but at times they appeared among men. I, when the blood was offered, forth came they to dwell upon men. I, when the blood was offered, so they were into sacrifices, which we know, okay? Far in the past, before Atlantis existed, men there were who delved into darkness, using dark magic, calling up beings from the great deep below us. Forth came they into this cycle. Formless were they of another vibration, existing unseen by the children of Earth's men. Only through blood could they form being. Only through man could they live in the world. Let us now bring this light surrounding all this stuff, because it's kind of a little dark. Let's bring the light in. Let's bring protection in. Let's bring love in. We ask our sources to bring protection around each one of us, that we can have the discernment to tell positive from negative, dark from light, that we have the strength and the courage to find the answers in ourselves. And this work we do is a guidance system for all of you. And it's 7 o'clock. I hope we'll probably cut off from BBS. Thank you all for being here. I hope that was helpful. And thank you, Donna. Thank you, Terry. And thank you, Hives. And I'm going to even thank Chris.